Let's read in unison these 10 verses of Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. We praise your name this morning, Father, that our hearts are in tune with the Hosanna. We thank you for Gladys, as she has expressed perhaps for many of us here this morning, that we are behind in our praises and that we do love you and we give you glory. And we pray that you would help us as we look into your word this morning. Tune our hearts to sing your praise, we pray, and bless us together around your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not sure if it's built into us or not, but when we come to a place or approach a place where we like to be, it seems almost normal to break into singing. For much of my married life, I had what was in effect a small-sized boys' camp in my station wagon wherever I went. Seemed like as we came approaching into Camp Taconic on the New York District, the troops would break into song, "We're here because we're here, because we're here, because we're here." Great song, great lyrics. And yet it was almost spontaneous every time. As we came to the place where we anticipated a great time and fellowship and fun, the troops would begin to sing. You notice in your Psalter, in the book of Psalms in your Bible, there are a number of songs that are psalms that are called a song of degrees in the Old King James, or in some of the Bibles, a song of ascents. And these songs are marked because these were the "we're here because we're here because we're here" songs of the Israelites as they approached the golden city, the holy city. For Jerusalem was the center of their religious activity, and the temple was the center of Jerusalem, and all who could a number of times each year, and all who couldn't come each year at least once in their life or as many times as they could, would approach Jerusalem, and as they approached, they would sing. And so it was normal for people to sing. A couple of years ago in February, I came into Jerusalem for the very first time. And would you believe it, I was singing when I came in. We came into Tel Aviv on a Saturday night, just as Shabbat was ending. We were tired. We'd had a long day. And our Jewish, very, very Jewish guide met us and herded us onto the bus. He was a middle-aged, retired Israeli Army officer. And after he got through with the amenities of giving us his name, he taught us a song. It was a song of ascents. I wish I could sing it for you this morning. I honestly have forgotten the tune. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." I was glad. You know, that was it, basically. And frankly, I thought it was a little bit much. I was wanting to get to bed. And you know me, I don't like to be manipulated at all, and yet I was singing along. We sang that night. Next day was Sunday, and we sang that a couple of times to get in tune on Sunday as we swung up into the north. We sang it that night before we got off the bus, And then Monday we sang it again too. And Monday evening, before sundown, we made our way from the north. We'd come down through, and as we approached the holy city, we began to sing. I was glad. I was glad. And I was surprised at the rush of emotion that came into my heart as I realized I was entering the holy city. I was singing a song of ascent. And I didn't realize it all at once in a split second, and yet I felt kind of a part of all the thousands of pilgrims that had come. I thought particularly of Jesus on his first journey, who had covered some of the territory that I had covered that day, in coming from Galilee down to Jerusalem for his bar mitzvah. And I'm sure he sang, oh, not in English for sure, but he sang some of the same words I was singing. I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And we were glad. And something supernatural brought joy to our hearts on that bus. And I see some of you pilgrims here that were with us on that day in February 2 years ago. But that Palm Sunday, what I've been saying by all this is the fact that every time people came to Jerusalem for religious purposes, it was natural for them to break into singing. So that Palm Sunday, it wasn't particularly unusual for people to be saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, this is great, we're on our way to the golden city, we're on our way into the temple, we're going to worship the Lord. And yet on that Palm Sunday, something unique and something different took place. And it was as though this entry into the city was a culmination and a fulfillment and a completion of all the songs of ascent. And in a sense, it was a tuning. It was giving us the pitch to know how to sing as we continue on our ascents. For there's a very real sense in which we're all going together, pilgrims on our way to the holy city, to the city of Jerusalem. And that Palm Sunday was a tuning for our song of ascent. No wonder great praise broke forth on that day, for here was prophet, priest, and King of Kings. Here was the Holy One of Israel and the Paschal Lamb, riding on a lowly beast of burden, and yet sovereign Lord, King of Kings. Listen to that song that they sang that day. It was a song of joy. There was real joy that day. As we think perhaps casually about times of sacrifice, we might think that sacrifice times were sorrowful times. And yet, as you run references in the Old Testament, sacrifice times were times of great joy. They were times where there were moments of sorrow and moments of solemn pageantry, times of remembering of sin. But there were days of fellowship on the way. There were great meals of feasting together. There was the renewal of the assurance of sins forgiven. There was a sense of community and coming together. The dominant note of the days of sacrifice was a holy joy. And the dominant theme, the dominant note of our faith also should be joy. There need to be times of godly sorrow for sin. And as Christians, it's good for us to know the discipline of worship on Good Friday as we let our hearts break again before the sacrifice of Calvary. But the dominating theme, the keynote of our song, is joy. For we do know the assurance of sins forgiven. We do know the joy of Christian fellowship. We do know that the sacrifice that was slain for us, our Paschal Lamb, becomes our spiritual food, our provision to carry us through the days of our journey. Granted, the day that they sang Hosanna, their joy was short-sighted. It was incomplete. And yet, even that incomplete joy was totally appropriate. And when the critics came to Jesus and said, "Who do you think you are? They're not praising God Almighty, they're praising you. Tell them to be quiet." Jesus said, "If they don't sing, the rocks will cry out." It's appropriate that we praise the Lord. Joy was on Jesus' mind even that day. For the writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is set down at the right hand of the Father. There was a note of sorrow in the song. It was not only a song of joy, but there was a note of sorrow. Jesus knew what lay ahead. Very often on Palm Sunday, we make a big point out of the fickle crowds that could call Hosanna on Sunday and crucify him on Friday morning. I'm not too sure about the overlap of those crowds. Maybe there were some that were in both. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure that it wasn't because Jesus was looking ahead to the cross on Friday that he wept over the city of Jerusalem. He wasn't thinking particularly about himself. But as he came down the Mount of Olives, which is higher than Jerusalem, and as he came down that hill and the people cried, "Hosanna," when he reached a point, the Bible says, where he was across from the temple, where he was even with the holy city, he stopped and he wept. And there was a note of sorrow. It's interesting that even today, in the celebration of Cedar, Passover, with all of its wine and feasting and rejoicing and family emphasis, there are the bitter herbs that must be served. We are aware of the sin and the sorrow and the suffering. And the sorrow of Palm Sunday is still with us today. It's not that the cities are sinful only, but it's the fact that Jesus is so near and salvation is so available. And yet there is willful rejection. I wonder at times if Jesus doesn't sorrow because we know so very much and we're so very near to those that need him so very much. And yet we don't tell them. And perhaps we are the cause that Jesus weeps. For we rejoice in what we know. I'm sure that on the day of judgment, the liberal media, the TV and the Boston Globe and all the people that put down the spiritual things that are happening will have their account to give because they have played down spiritual things and played up man. I'm not too concerned about that. I'm concerned that in the day of judgment, Jesus will not have to weep because I rejoiced that in the feasting and the provision that he's made for me. And I have people that I love and care about, neighbors of mine, that are willful and in sin but don't really know about Jesus. And he's so very near. And here he was that day, the Savior of the world. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, how often would I?" But he would not. But not only was it a song of joy with a note of sorrow, but it was a song of hope as well. Perhaps everyone but Jesus had a misguided hope that day. I'm sure the crowds were willing to follow anybody that could promise them, "We'll throw off the oppressor of hated Rome." I thank God for people who serve in government. I believe that it is a Christian service for those who belong to Jesus to serve in government. And yet, don't misunderstand me when I say that government never will really meet the deepest needs of the human heart. And Jesus is interested in changing government. But that wasn't on his mind. He didn't come to be an earthly king. I'm sure his disciples had some more sharply focused hopes that day. And they said, he's going to the temple. He's going to turn things over there. And now we're going to worship our way. We're going to define agape love our way. We're going to distribute the alms our way. But mankind can't be saved by doing things our way. If we had the opportunity, we'd make Nazarenes out of everybody. Wouldn't that be an awful mess? For Christ isn't interested just in making people members of the Church of the Nazarene. We have our place. But God's not interested whether or not we can get people to see things our way. We believe our way is the best, and it's scriptural, and it's right. And God will bless us, and I believe there is a place for denominations. But the thing is, we need to see things His way. Mankind can't be saved maybe by us being interested in just making them do it our way. But mankind can and will be saved as the people called Christian introduce society and individuals to Jesus Christ. And we have hope. Make no mistake, our song is a song of hope, for Jesus always leads to victory. And he was just as much king that day before the cross as he is king in session today. But finally, this was a song not only of joy with a note of sorrow, a song of hope, but it was a song of great love. Perhaps whenever there's a group that gets together and starts hollering in joy, there's a sense of identity, a group identity. Seems like the thing you holler at sports events is, we're number one, we're number one. Kind of dumb, but of course, the Bruins are number one too, but wait till next year. I'm sorry about that. There may have been something of that on that first Palm Sunday. But in the song of ascents, as the Jews ascended to Jerusalem, as they sang, I was glad, when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord, there was a sense of family, a sense of belonging, and they knew that they were children of faith and children of Abraham, and they sang and they rejoiced in their common faith. That's been a powerful influence down across the years. Well, even in the dark years, the saying at Cedar was, next year in Jerusalem. But that day, Jesus transformed and universalized that sense of belonging. He broadened it beyond racial and ethnic and denominational boundaries. And as we follow Jesus to the cross and beyond, we find, as we sing the song of ascents, that we really do belong to each other. We are family. But being Christ's family has its loving responsibilities too. And we show our love to Jesus by facing our cross as he faced his, by bearing our cross with joy. Somehow in the divine alchemy of faith, life's hard places, we don't have to go seeking after suffering. But as we give our hard places to Jesus, they become an offering of love, a sacrifice to be bound with cords to the altar. And our song of ascents becomes a song of dedication of love to him. As we've already alluded to before, we sing our song of love by following Jesus and seeking his grace, seeking to be like him. We cannot save the world as he did. Perhaps our dreams at times are too big and too much for tomorrow and too much in the realm of theory and the ideal. When I have reached a certain place, then I will be the perfect missionary to Africa. But I want to suggest that each of us this week we'll have opportunity to follow Jesus in humility, in honesty, in kindness, in not seeking our self-will, in giving, And in many practical, little, self-crucifying ways that show that Christ's love has filtered down to where we live, we can sing this note in the song of ascent as we walk along together, not sometime in the future, but today and this week. We can sing as we know the joy and the sorrow, the hope, and above all, as we reflect the love of God as we climb to Jerusalem. Shall we pray? We thank you, Lord, for the holy city and the promise that we shall worship there. Help us as we walk together, as we sing Hosanna to the King, as we catch step with King Jesus, as we sing our song of ascent. Amen.